Mishy, mishy, mashy, mashy. It's the news, according to me. I'm here somewhere. I don't know what's going on. What's going on? Oh, here I am. Oh, it is Monday. Mishmash Monday. We're going to call it. That's what I got names now for every day. You'll have to tune in every day to find out what the name is, because it's Mondays will for now and forevermore. Might even show up on your calendar this way. Monday's just going to be called Mishmash Monday. Welcome to the news, according to me. I have a dog here by my side. He's interested in a cat that's been prowling around down here. I'm at the home studio here in my house. It's in the basement of my house. I'm not at the worldwide headquarters, which I guess he's decided he's going to go in here and lay down. Good boy. That's a perfect little puppy right there. He's decided to go in and just he lays at my feet. I have a little cushion, a little bed for him. And a little bed. It's about the size of a queen. Queen size. It's about the same size I sleep on. But he, underneath my feet here, he weighs 88 pounds now. He's 12 months old. Officially, I think on the 9th, he was 12 months old. So he's just a little over a year now, going on his 13th month. And he just, we've been out getting some exercise. He just now has just kind of collapsed at my feet here. I have this little doggy bed thing under my desk, and so he crawls under there when I start talking and just kind of puts him to sleep. Much like other people, we won't mention any names, Bob, but Mishmash Monday is going to be our thing now. I am back from my long, you might be able to tell it in my voice. I can tell it in my voice. I have a tired voice. I am wiped out. And it's not so much the physical strain. I do go out and I exercise because there's a lot of mental stress involved in the training that I go through. And it's a lot of knowledge evaluation. So they evaluate where you are. You take a lot of tests, written tests. And there's the action stuff that happens. We have checklists that we have to run through, all kinds of things we have to check on, go through proper procedures. All kinds of stuff that we have to do, and there's motor skills involved, a lot of flipping switches, turning knobs, pulling levers, switches, levers, and dials. We always say it's all it is, but it's you got to do them in the right order, or everybody dies. So it's one of those things where no stress at all, but you know, screw up and everybody dies. And it turned out to be a very good experience, very pleasant experience. And actually, it was enjoyable, except for the stress of, it was stressful. Now, had I known it was not going to be, the instructor was, the people that you get to evaluate you, you never know. Some of these people are just Nazis, and they're looking for a reason to get rid of you. And it's not really that. They're not really looking for a reason to get rid of you. They're looking for a reason to show themselves better, to be better than you. I found this with instructors and teachers in general. There are some people who don't teach. They want to prove that they are smarter than you, better than you. They know more than you. These are the kinds of teachers, instructors, who are, in most cases, very difficult to learn from. Where's he going? Where is he going now? Oh, he just busted out that's great. He just busted out the wall down here. Not sure what that's all about. All right, well, there you go. Now that's not good. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that, yeah. Thanks, buddy, for breaking the wall out. So these people who are most of the people who are like that are typically the reason they are that way is because they are insecure. And they have something to prove. They have to prove that they're better than you. They have to prove that they know more than you. And the way they do that is they ask you questions that they know the answers to because it makes them feel better. And I've told some of them, I said, you know, you probably feel pretty smart because you're asking me questions that you know the answers to. So how about we turn this around and I'll start asking you questions you don't know the answers to? Now, most of the time they do because they're so scared of not knowing answers that they study all the time. But the... And I'm glad there are, it comes down to this. I'm glad that there are those kinds of people in the world that are, you know, retentive, letter of the law kind of people. I'm glad that those are around because we'd all be dead if they were like me. I'm more of the loosey-goosey, shoot from the hip, do what's necessary, but, you know, don't bother me in the meantime. And there are those people out there that are very specific about the standards. I just ran into this the other day. There was a flight attendant on the plane. I was flying back from Dallas, and this guy was a Nazi. He was, I almost say Nazi. It's really not even right, the proper term. He was a very, so let's just say he was strong on compliance. And he did a very good job of, you know, while they were doing their safety demonstration and all that, he was telling people to, you know, get off their phones and all this kind of stuff. And of course, people don't, but he managed to get the point across and made it very clear this is a very important time of the departure. You need to pay attention. And good for him. He was able to accomplish that and without ticking anybody off. And he's, you know, the thing about it was he wasn't being mean or difficult, mean-spirited. He was very good about just explaining, you know, this is, we have to do this, and I need your attention, and this is not, it's important that you listen to this. It wasn't demeaning, wasn't chastising, it was very good. And most people will take that out on people, and they'll take it personally. That's a very important kind of quality to have. This is where a lot of police officers get in trouble. And you see these videos online all the time of these police officers who pull somebody over and the person, you know, doesn't roll their window down as far as the cop wants them to, or doesn't do everything that the cop, you know, asks for right away. And the person starts to push back and ask questions. And the police officer takes it personally, or somebody's speeding. Just the act of speeding or running a stop sign accidentally, whatever it is, or going through a red light, whatever it is. They pull them over, and you would have thought they just ran over their child. Because granted, that's the reason we have stoplights and speed limits and all those things, is so we don't run over children. Or just theoretically, it should slow it down. But you'd think you ran over theirs, and just do your job, enforce the law. Don't take it personally. Now, there are people who will take, you have to realize it, when people get upset with a cop, with a police officer, and they start talking to them and you saying, you know, whatever they say to the person, it's not them personally necessarily that they're going after. Now, sometimes it is because the cops sometimes escalated that, the personal side of it. But if it's not, it's just social interaction. It's just on any level, anytime, whatever job it is. The social interaction between people can be complicated. Now here we go with the water pump. So, sorry for the noise in the background. Plus the dog chewing on the toy. It's kind of always it's an annoying noise. So anyway, in my cup, I have chai with almond joy creamer. I do have a backup cup this morning. In my backup cup, I have something called Whataburger tea. It's Whataburger. There's a Whataburger. Whataburger is pretty big in Texas, at least in the Dallas area. It's all over the country, but it's pretty much in the South and especially in Dallas area. The Whataburger is a pretty good sized burger. It's people like it. I guess it is a, if you like a lot of stuff on your burger, you know, lettuce, tomato, onions, mustard, ketchup, all that stuff, they just pile all that crap on. I am not one to like a sloppy sandwich. I don't like messy sandwiches. I know Sonic, I think, used to have an advertisement about how messy their sandwiches were. That was supposed to make it better, I guess. Supposed to be a good thing that it was messy. I do not like that. That turned me. I hadn't been to a Sonic, and when I saw that advertisement, I didn't go to a Sonic for a long, long time. The first time I went to a Sonic was maybe a year ago. I got it without any kind of stuff on it. No ketchup, no mustard, just a plain cheeseburger. And it was actually very good. I now haven't been back because I still have this picture that they showed. It was this guy eating a Sonic sandwich. He picked it up and all it showed was his shoes. And all of a sudden on his shoe was just big splash of ketchup saucy stuff. And that's what stuck in my mind. Very good marketing campaign. Now, if you like those kinds of sandwiches, you probably love Sonic. I do not like messy sandwiches. I just don't like getting it all over myself. I want it to go in my mouth and down my, you know, there, just where it belongs. It's not, I can't absorb it through my skin or my clothes. I don't want everybody to know what I had for lunch when I show up and it's all over my shirt. I don't like that. I can tell them that. I don't mind them knowing. I don't like wearing my lunch around. So that's just me. I don't know. I typically will order these special sandwiches, special cheeseburgers with this special ranch sauce, whatever it is, this special Texan sauce or whatever it is, Mississippi Cajun sauce, whatever kind of sauce it is. I typically will say, put the sauce on the side. Of course, it comes out in this vat of goo and it melts the plastic that it's in. I look at it and I smell it and I'm like, I'm glad that's not, it doesn't smell bad, but I'm just glad it's not on my sandwich because it would be messy. Now there's this one Culver's, but speaking of sandwiches that are messy, there's this one, tartar sauce is the same way. You know, tartar sauce doesn't taste that bad. It's the fact that it makes the sandwich all messy when they put it on your sandwich. Culver's has a codfish sandwich. I usually order the codfish sandwich basket. It comes with cheese and lettuce on it, and it has shaved cheddar cheese, lettuce, and they put tartar sauce on it. I always ask for it with no tartar sauce. Always ask for it with no tartar sauce. And inevitably, there's this one particular Culver's. I won't mention any names where it's at, but it's very close to Hammond, Indiana. Just off of 94 at the number 2 exit. But I'm not going to mention any names about where it's at. They have a tendency, when I order the sandwich, I will tell them twice, no tartar sauce, no tartar sauce. Make sure you got no tartar sauce on that. Twice now that they have put tartar sauce on my sandwich. Now, I go there quite a bit, so the odds are pretty high that I'm going to get an accidental sandwich. It's been three times that they put tartar sauce on my sandwich there, because the first time I actually went back inside. This was the most frustrating thing for me. There was tartar sauce on my sandwich. I went back inside. I said I didn't want tartar sauce on my sandwich. So I waited for another sandwich. Waited and waited and waited. Finally got my sandwich, and there was tartar sauce, but no cheese. Tartar sauce and lettuce, but no cheese. I said, no, I want cheese on the sandwich. I didn't want tartar sauce. Do you understand what tartar sauce is? What part of sauce and tartar do you not understand? So they gave me another one. And they put the cheese on the side. I They must have like a 50-gallon vat of tartar sauce that they are trying to get rid of, and so they just put it on everything. I don't know. We gotta put more tartar sauce on everything. Even if they ask for no tartar sauce, just go ahead and put it on there anyway. Maybe they won't say anything. Maybe they won't notice. Crazy. So this is where we're at now. That's what we've got going on. So like I said, this is Mishmash Monday, which is just a mishmash of anything I've got in my brain. Now, if anything big happens over the weekend that we need to talk about on a Monday, we will talk about that. But for the next few Mondays, this is what you're going to get, folks. This is what you get. You're going to get me just talking about whatever's in my brain. I'm just going to push the button. I promise you I will not have any agenda. I'm just going to push the button and start recording whatever comes out of whatever's in my head is going to come out of my mouth. So that's what we're at. I think, what was I going to look? I was going to look something up here real quick. Remember what it was. Dog's getting sniffy again, like he's going to do something funny, do something strange. Not sure what's going on there. We have a few things that happened over the weekend, speaking of which. The Trump tariffs, of course, now they've settled down on that whole thing. They realized that they're in a losing battle here because Trump is negotiating. For instance, Bill Maher, who has been a rabid anti-Trumper, hates the guy, went to the White House apparently over the weekend or sometime last week. I think he was talking about over the weekend. Well, his tune has somewhat changed all of a sudden. And tomorrow's Topical Tuesday, but I will probably play a few of the, how you say, a few of the clips that Bill Maher, some of the statements that he made, some of the things he's saying, like the guy in person was very personable, and he wasn't the monster that I was. But as soon as he comes on television, he goes back on television. He's the guy. I'm with the guy that he was able to talk to him. He's very affable. He was very just all these different things he was saying. He didn't use any big words, but he was just talking about how he got along fine with him. He joked around with him. He can laugh. He didn't know the guy could laugh. If you don't know that this guy's a normal guy. I mean, now he's not normal, but he can relate to everybody. He can relate to anybody. If you don't know that, then you haven't been paying attention. All you've been listening to is MSNBC and CNN because they have convinced you that this guy's a monster. And anytime he speaks, that's the way he is. Now, when he gets out on the campaign trail or gets out and does his little thingy shows and his little rallies or whatever he does speak very differently in some respects. But for the most part, he is the guy who he is, and he can relate to people. He's been relating to people all of his life. He's been able to talk to the average worker and the average whoever, whatever. It's just who he is. But they would have you to believe that that's not who he is. And of course, that's the Donald Trump that Bill Maher decided to believe, because Bill Maher is not nearly as educated about political stuff as he pretends to be. Some of these people who act like they have some kind of philosophical hierarchy, they're somehow above other people in the philosophical world because they have a show and they have an audience that comes in and pats their little egos every day. I know how that is because that's how it is on this show. Everybody pats my ego on this show. I can't even see I have no idea what my audience is. They're probably listening to this and making all kinds of comments. And if I could hear it, probably walk off and cry. I don't know. But this is more about, just therapy for me. I just be able to just vent stuff, rant, and pretend like somebody's listening. So I have my backup. So that's my backup cup, my Whataburger. All that to say, sweet tea from Whataburger. It's pretty much watered down now. It's more like Whataburger. Oh, what else has been happening? We have, Yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot else happening that I know of. I was pretty busy over the weekend. There are a few things. Of course, the left is they continue to just go nuts over the whole. Let's go back to the tariff thing. They had the tariffs are going back and forth with China. There are a lot of people who are upset with Trump now because I guess Kevin O'Leary, the one bald guy from Shark Tank, he wants to see a 400% tariff on China. Now, you have to understand how this affects. Then everybody now everybody's saying, "Oh, he's now he's being wishy washy. He's flip flopping on tariff. He's a flip flopper now because he's so they complained about his tariffs. Oh, he's gonna ruin our economy. So he pulls them back temporary. He puts a 90-day hold on him. Oh, now he's a flip flopper. So you would have rather had him not. What do you want? What do you want? Now the fact is, this is part of a negotiation tactic. They don't understand this at all. They do not understand how this works. This is all part of the art of the deal, and it's all part of the negotiation back and forth. It's the he's playing winners and losers here. You know, who has some? Now there's some people who are all upset that Trump has basically rolled back the Chinese tax, Chinese tariff on some items like iPhones and some other things. Everybody's, he's letting big tech win. Well, the reason big tech is big is because people buy their products, first of all. The iPhones, you know, Apple will probably do something. You know, they'll do whatever they need to do. I guess they went to India to have India do their manufacturing, and they wanted to charge them a ridiculous amount of money. So they just went back to China. There's always this negotiation on the national scale, and people are going to try to get the product as cheap as they possibly can. And of course, Americans want the cheapest product they can find, and of course, they're not willing to spend $2,000 for. Well, they apparently they are, but they won't spend $4,000 for a phone, or they're going to have fewer phones. Profit margin will go down for Apple because they'll sell fewer phones, and even though they're charging more for them, they will get less. So it's just one of those. It's all this economic balance. It's all played out on the market, and it's just they. So it's just a disingenuous rant on the left. Whatever Donald Trump does, they will take the other side, and it doesn't matter whether he's progressing us down any good roads or not. Now, what would be great is if they all just got on board and just did it. Think of where we would be. Even if we made mistakes along the way, but everything that he does is supposedly make mistakes. Now, Letitia James, I think I played some of her stuff last week. She's now under investigation because she apparently did commit fraud. See, what Donald Trump did with the estimate of his property values and all that stuff, and this whole $300 million fine that they charged him for, even though there was nobody hurt, there was no plaintiff, there was nothing involved. They went after him because that's what she ran on. She ran on the fact that she was going to go after Donald Trump and try to bankrupt the guy. And of course, they have pretty much failed in that attempt. But now come to find out, she's under investigation now. Now she's claiming that no weapon formed against her is going to perish. That's what she said. That's her words. No weapon formed against her will perish. Nothing formed against me. That's what you do. You repeat yourself when you're trying to rally up a crowd. And she's talking about how she's covered by the blood. All this stuff. Very similar to has kind of rings to the Fonnie Willis case down in Atlanta. We all know how that kind of turned out. So Tishy Letitia James, she apparently had this business deal with some kind of condominium or condo or something, kind of some kind of property management, something she was doing, and she literally committed fraud by saying she was living someplace when she wasn't living there. She purchased. I don't know what the whole deal was. I don't know the details on it. But apparently there was this, the allegations now are that she committed fraud on some kind of property deal. Literal fraud. I mean, this is like a criminal fraud. Not just, hey, my property's worth this much. Will you loan me the money? Yeah, sure. Can I pay it back? Okay, now we're done. Oh, you committed fraud. No, the bank's happy. He's happy. Everybody got their money. Nobody was defrauded. Nobody was left hanging. What exactly, where's the crime here? The bank agreed to loan the money. If you come to me and say, hey, would you loan me some money to buy this tractor? I'm buying a tractor and I want to buy this tractor. It's worth $20,000. I'm going to go out and buy this tractor. And if you loan me the money, I'll put it up as collateral. And so I look at the tractor. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I'll give you $20,000. But if you default, I get the tractor. Come to find out, the tractor was only worth $15,000. But the guy paid all the money back. I don't care. I really don't care. And, very worst case was I paid $20,000 for a tractor that was worth $15,000. Like, I've never overpaid for something. All the times I've gotten good deals on something, pretty much made up for that. So, I don't care. I just don't care. Speaking of taxes, was I talking about taxes? Talking about deals. It's tax day. Tomorrow's tax day. And, of course, today I'm going to be signing big fat checks. Pay my state and federal taxes. If anybody's got about $4,000 or $5,000 they'd like to just donate to the tax base, your willingness, I'd be happy to take them. Let's just put it that way. You could send it to me and I'll pass it along to the IRS for you. And somehow I got to come up with a chunk of change. Send off to these people that think that they deserve more than they've taken from me already. Somehow. Because you didn't build that. Whatever. Well, I certainly didn't sit around on the couch and watch it not happen. I need to reward people who are productive in this country, not discourage and berate them. So anyway, and of course, that's what Tim Walz said the other day. I want to reward people who go out and do this, all this kind of stuff, but not the way Elon Musk did it. He's just wrong. Okay, so what did he do? How is he wrong? Because 2 years ago, you just said he was the coolest guy in the world. We need more people like Elon Musk. And now he's the villain. Why? Oh, because he's attached to Trump administration, because he has a temporary job working for Trump and in fact working for the American people. He doesn't want to take your Social Security check. He doesn't want your Social Security number. Now he's going to have access to all the Social Security numbers. There are probably 20-year-olds that work for the Social Security company, Social Security office, who have access to all the Social Security numbers. I guarantee you there are people there who have access to all the Social Security. Well, they're part of the, what kind of, how do you know these people? What do you know about their personal lives? People who are living out in public are pretty much, everybody knows everything about them. What do you know about that little 20-year-old that's got access to all your personal data down at SSN? And yet we don't have a problem with that. Well, because they work there. Well, he works there. So there. The argument is just, it's illogical and stupid. Because speaking of stupid, one of the things that Letitia James said, he's, what was it? She said something about irresponsible and sincere ignorance and something stupidity. I can't, whatever it is. They just keep coming up. And now the new buzzword, you're going to hear this all the time now. One of the new buzzwords that the left is using now is that the Trump administration is chaos. It's the chaos administration. Everything's chaos, chaotic. It's, they have to mention chaos. And these are little speeches that they do. Now, they're trying to be more careful about hiding this kind of stuff within their sentences. They're not just coming out and saying the whole sentence. They're not repeating. For a while, they're all in the same script. You could actually put them side by side, and they were all saying exactly the same thing. Now it's just use the word chaos in any speeches that you're doing. Trying to make it more of a general message, but they try to instill putting that particular word out there. This stuff works, folks. If you don't notice it, if you don't happen to notice it, well, one person will get up there and say something, and say something about chaos. Okay, then a little time goes by, another person comes up and says something about chaos. You don't notice that everybody's talking about that particular word because it's lodged in that sentence there somewhere, and it starts to just get into your little psyche, and you start thinking, okay, how the Trump administration is just chaotic, it's just a bunch of chaos. Because you keep hearing that chaotic word. They're trying to play mind games. They're trying to gaslight the American people. This is what they've been doing since 2016, over the last 11, 12 years. They've been doing this stuff. Well, they've been doing it longer than that, but they just poured the coal to it. And it's like a all-out effort to gaslight the American people now. Gaslighting is just telling somebody something over and over that isn't true, trying to make them believe that they're insane or whatever the thing is, or trying to make them believe something is that it's not. Kind of like calling those things into existence that are not as if they are. Whatever it is, however they twist that scripture. There's actually a scripture they twist around that way. It's very dangerous to go there, by the way. So, yeah, we have the typical parties, and they kind of fall one by one. I mean, we all kind of find out that hey, this person who's usually it's the loudest, most squeaky individuals who are the ones with the most to lose. Jasmine Crockett, for example, and I was being investigated because apparently there have been a lot of Act Blue, which is an NGO, of course, a lot of donations to her campaign. One of them was like $16,000 from somebody who wasn't even in her district. It was like a different county from where her district was. And this guy, there, I guess her opponent, I think he's some kind of a lawyer or something, he went after her. He's trying to run against her, I guess. And he went to these people's house. He says, hey, are you guys aware that you were charged $16,000? He says you were charged $16,000 for it, that they would have willingly made a donation. They weren't defrauded. No money came out of their account. That we know of it, that they're still under investigation. So the allegation here is that Act Blue used their name and submitted these donations because, you know, you can only donate so much to a campaign. Okay? There's limits to how much you can donate. So they donate to PAC groups. They donate to, you know, specifically directly to campaigns. But they donate the maximum amount. And what they'll do is, so Act Blue has this $1 million that they want to put into the campaign for Jasmine Crockett or whoever. And what they end up doing is, they take those funds and they create these fake accounts with people's real names, with real people. And so Joe Schmo from Albuquerque, whoever, where, donated the maximum $1,200, whatever the maximum amount is. And then take the next person, this person here, they donated. And of course, I don't know what kind of identification they have to have or what kind of social, you know, what kind of, I think all they have to have is a name and address. So they just go through the phone book and they start saying this person donated that, and they start giving these donations on behalf of these people. And they had no idea. And of course, they keep all this under lock and key because you don't want that person sending out. Now, if you start getting emails and start getting, especially letters in the mail, from a representative that you never donated to, especially somebody that's running for office, if there was no way they could have gotten your address, or there was all of a sudden you're on somebody's committee, this happened to me. I started getting stuff from Democrat candidates all of a sudden, as if I had paid attention. I kind of traced it back to this one place where I did go to a person's website and type in my email address because I was looking for information about that. In order to get, actually, in order just to find out anything about their campaign, you had to go in and actually type in your email address to get to just have access to their the kind of the inside of their website. They had a landing page, but in order to get any kind of information about their stuff, you had to type in your email address, which I use kind of I have like a junk mail address. So I used that, but notice that I started getting all kinds of email from that person. And from that, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't even in the state. It was, might have been when the Virginia thing was going on. So the, with Youngkin or whatever his name was. It was years ago. So this is the kind of thing where if all of a sudden you start getting information and they start acting like you're a part of the party, somebody might have put a donation in under your name. It might have happened. If they start acting like you're part of the cult. So anyway, just keep that in mind, folks. Lots of interesting things happening. I had, I want to go back and look at some of the other things here. We had, what happened to, I don't know what happened to it. I was going to try to find, my wife's been sending me stuff through a lot of articles, mostly through Messenger. Not Messenger, but Facebook, I guess Facebook Messenger. So there was a couple articles that were kind of interesting stuff that's been going on. Whether or not it's true or not, some of the stuff is kind of interesting. I've got a dog upstairs barking, so I've got to kind of watch this dog. Not sure what's happening there. So we have just a lot of interesting things happening there. I saw this thing the other day, for instance, that I might have mentioned this on Friday. There was a thing on Facebook, and the most it was actually somebody from more of a QAnon style kind of thing, but it was this deal where they said they were showing this helicopter who was flying around on 9/11 when the first tower had gone down or first tower had gotten hit, and so of course the second tower was about to be hit. This helicopter was flying around on the one side of the. I can't remember where they came in. I thought they came in from the south, but maybe they came in from another direction. But anyway, this helicopter's flying around. And of course, they tell this helicopter, get away from the buildings. That's what apparently air traffic controller told them this. Now it's not on the video. There's no audio to this, but they claim that that's what was being told. And you never know because they can put audio over something over video and make it sound like it's. And so the helicopter supposedly was backing off from the building. At the same time, the airplane was crashing into the opposite side of Tower 1, which was the second tower that was hit. And it just explodes out there. All the show was on the side of where the airplane basically was coming through. It's just a big fireball coming through there. And the comment was, notice that there's something strangely missing. You didn't see any planes because they were coming from the other direction. People are sometimes so ridiculous with this stuff. And there were some ridiculous things right after 9/11. Within months after 9/11, there was all these conspiracy theories coming out. And one of the theories was, right before the plane struck the building, they shot missiles. Folks, it's just not the way it happened. Okay, airplanes hit the buildings. People saw them with their own eyes. Just if you think that there was a million people in the city that day and just all of a sudden looked up and said, the building just exploded. They didn't see any airplanes. They heard the airplanes. If you've been in the middle of a city, it is a noisy place. You can't hear anything a mile away. But an airplane flies over, especially an airplane flying that fast, you're going to be able to hear it. People heard the airplanes, looked up, saw the airplanes. And I guarantee you, if nobody saw an airplane, then But you can't get that many people involved. Of course, oh, it was all an illusion. It was all you know, optics. It was they did a hologram. What kind of crazy? Look, ne'er-do-wells flew airplanes into those buildings that day, period. Now, did the government know what was going to happen? Maybe. They maybe knew of the possibility of that happening. Did they plan it? Did they make it happen that day? I don't know. I don't think so. People like to fill in the blanks when the blanks are there, and they don't always even just use their head to do so. They just go down some weird way. And I just don't know what to tell you. There's all those people who are saying, well, it was intentionally blown up. And then there's building 7. And of course, now I have heard all kinds of testimony and people talk about what actually happened that day from firemen on the ground. Now, if you would think that any fireman who was working that building that day in Tower 7, it's too big of a conspiracy for someone to not come forward and say, I saw this and this is what happened. Most of them come out and say, I didn't see anything like that. There weren't anything. This didn't happen. And it's usually somebody with an agenda. Usually somebody that factually wasn't there, didn't know. Anyway, it's a sore spot for me. And I think we have to be careful with this kind of stuff, because we can go off on some kind of weird tangent and think that it's, we want to try to fill in the blanks on things, and it's just dangerous to do so. So you need to be very careful with stuff like that, all I'm saying. Because we can go down the same kind of crazy, wacky, delusional stuff. Let's see. What else is going on? I'm just going to go through some headlines here. House panel review U.S. travel system. There's been a lot of... what is this? I need to watch that later. I'm going to put that on my watch later list there. Save to watch later. There's a lot of stuff going on. I don't really see fireball over the ocean. It's an old crash there. I don't really see anything. It's too much. Panicking. Yeah, that's one of the things that's been going on. Getting back to this whole tariff thing, one of the things you really have to watch is that people don't. You know, people have a tendency. The market is driven a lot by psychological influence. There's a lot of fear involved in sell-offs and buying and all that kind of buying and selling. I don't know what the market's doing today or what it's been doing the last couple of days. I know that the what's happened to that? Going to kind of check the market in general on the ETFs. I don't see anything here on the index funds, S&P, that kind of thing. My understanding is it's gone back up again. I don't know if it has or not, but Nvidia has gone back up after the decline. Now, things are still down overall. However, let's see here. We've got, let's take a look at NVIDIA. I think this is SoFi. Let's go back to, take a look at the last month of NVIDIA. That's a pretty solid stock that a lot of people invest in. Let's look at the last month. So we took this downturn. It went down to, I didn't say what it was. No, 100, 114. I thought it went to below $100 there for a little while. Oh, yeah, there's $94. It was up in the $121 range less than a month ago, and now it's back up to about $114, $115. So it's, you know, it's another, what is that, $20 it's gone up, or 20%. $20, I guess, $20 it's gone up in the last, it was April 4th, so in the last week. It's peaked out a couple times in the last, it's at its peak again here in the last week, as far as the week goes. The last month, it's still below. Anyway, so markets are rebounding. They're definitely coming back. But it's all based on perception. It's all based on futures. It's all based on the idea of where things will go. That's the way the market works. It's based on speculation, what's going to happen. And a lot of people don't, they just get influenced by that. There's this fear sell-off. It's not the time to sell. The market starts dropping, people start selling. It's like, no, you know, that's the time to buy. But that's, you know, you have to be in a position to do that. And the left makes it sound like everybody's so tuned into the stock market that they care about, that their day-to-day existence depends on it. That's not the case at all. People don't care too much about the stock market, really, in general. There are those who you know, have their 401ks. They watch the value of their 401k go down. But we've seen this all before. This happened in 2008. I made some bad moves in 2008. We did some bad things with some of our investments. And it should have gone the other direction with it. But it was a learning lesson. I think a lot of people did learn then that this is, you know, you ride it out. You're in for the long haul. You wait another year or whatever to retire. Whatever you got to do, just do what you got to do in the meantime. Anyway. Mishmash Monday. That's what this is, and that's what Mishmash Monday. Sometimes it's going to be better than others, but every show is better than the last because it's the show. I don't know. That makes no sense. We have a big week ahead of us. I think there should be a show every day this week. As far as I know, one of the shows will be from the Worldwide Headquarters, because I haven't been to the Worldwide Headquarters for about a month. I need to get over there, see if the place is still standing after the storms we had. Folks, thanks for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's Topical Tuesday, so there's going to be more topics tomorrow. Mostly, probably just one main topic with maybe a few other side topics. Some possible video, audio, whatever we got going on. And I'm trying to figure out which day is going to be live. Just haven't figured that out yet. God bless, folks. Have a great night. Take care. See ya.